Dave's way that he's a preacher. He's probably the best preacher I've ever heard because it's totally spontaneous. I'm not a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. So I love to look at what the word says. So we're about ready to skim through the book of Nehemiah. And I think you'll be surprised at the rate that we do go through this. One of the things that I do notice in the body of Christ, and we do a lot of retreats, it's not just about what's happening in here. It's about what's happening in the body of Christ. Disillusionment. There's so many people who are disillusioned with what's going on. You know, God's not coming through here. I prayed for this. It's not happening. We get opposition. And we need to be able to know that all of those things are normal. Disillusionment's not normal. Opposition's normal. And that's what we're talking about today is opposition. And what do we do with opposition? Because if we don't understand how to battle opposition, we get stuck. In the book of John, it talks about a lot of the disciples left Jesus. How many know Christians who were strongly walking as Christians once, and now they've left the faith? Heartbreaking. I'll bet you it came through disillusionment. It came through disillusionment. And we can get disillusioned because of opposition. And that's what we're going to cover is why God allows opposition. And what we're supposed to do with it. We're going to cover the book of Nehemiah, but I want to tell you that Nehemiah had a lot in common with Ezra. Ezra was a priest. In fact, so you know how to turn there because it's a book that we really don't teach out of a lot. It's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So go in and you can find it because that's where we're going to be most of the time. Ezra was called to repair the temple. Nehemiah was called to repair the walls and the gates. And the Jews had been trying to mend it for over 100 years. With no avail, they never could get it rebuilt. And the reason why is because they didn't know how to handle opposition. And we're going to see Nehemiah, just the same way that Ezra did, hurdle the stuff that people, just different yakking that will stop us from doing what God's called us to do. Both Ezra and Nehemiah both not only faced opposition, and Nehemiah's was Sanballat. Sanballat came at him over and over and over again. How many have had things come at you over and over and over, and you're tired of it? Well, you just got to spiritually hurdle it. Just the same way that Nehemiah did. Nehemiah hurdled it. They both were men. Ezra and Nehemiah were both men of prayer and fasting. And that's the one thing. If we're not praying and if we're not fasting, we're not going to be able to overcome opposition. They both wept over the condition of their nation, of Jerusalem, of the Jewish people. Do we weep at the condition over our states? They both were obedient men. They both were men of action. They just didn't hear the call of God on their life. They literally took action from it. So, again, dealing with internal and external opposition. External meaning it's coming from people. It's coming from different situations. Internal, it's the enemy of our soul. It's our mind, will, and emotion. And each of us, at one point or another, will end up either fighting or giving in to opposition. Just saying, okay, I'm tired. I'm tired of this Christian walk. I'm leaving. And that's the reason why there's people who you know and you've known for a long time who have left the faith. And they say, I'm sorry. I already tried it. I already tried it. But until we know that God gives us the new nature, and then it's our responsibility to change our behavior. He never changes our behavior. He gives us a seed of a new nature, and then we're supposed to walk and change our behavior. And I believe that's the main reason why people don't have an understanding of how God functions because people believe God's going to do it for them. And he never will. It's us that has to do that. So why does God allow opposition? First, do you know what an Achilles heel is? There's an old saying that each of us has an Achilles heel. And each of us need to know that there's a strategy to steal your joy, to kill your hope, and to remove you from what God's called you to do and to be. And the enemy and people, some people around us will use that in a way to distract us, use it in a way to give us discouragement, and to have us totally just say, I give up. I give up. So why does God allow opposition? First, to have a task done. He has something for each of us to do. I heard a statistic that was done by a secular group of people that if they were to ask one question, what would it be? The question would be, why am I here? If you were to ask God one question, not just Christian people, but secular people, if you were to ask God one question, what would it be? Why am I here? So if you don't know why you're here, try asking, because he'll tell you why you're here. And he has a specific task for each of us to accomplish. And if we don't know how to handle opposition, boom, we're done. So, and also to be a witness. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to develop new character. And he wants us to know whatever we give control to, that's what's going to control us. If we give somebody permission to manipulate us, who's going to be controlling us? They will. If we give somebody permission to be angry and we back down, what's going to control us? Their anger. Whatever we give permission to control us is what's going to control us. So let's pray, and then we're going to hit the book of Nehemiah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for the men that are gone. Lord, that you would touch every person here. Lord, you know the situations we're in. You know the difficulties we're in. Father, you know the discouragement that we're in. Father, that you would touch every single one of us. Minister to us, fill us fresh and anew. Lord, what we receive, may we put into action. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to minister to us and that you love us. Seal upon our hearts all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, let's go to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 4, 1 through 6. The first one is, and all I did was take the headings of my Bible, and maybe your headings say something similar. The first one is opposition through ridicule. And mocking. How many have ever dealt with that? Big time. Big time. Okay, so let's get started. Now, it came about that when Sanballat, now remember, Sanballat's the one that is going after most of Nehemiah's ministry. I mean, he sets and says, I'm going after this guy. He's not going to be able to accomplish what he thinks he's supposed to do because I'm going after him. And he did. Now, it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and angry and mocked the Jews. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble? Even the burnt ones? Now, Tobiah, the Amorite, was near him and said, even what they are building, check this out, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. So Nehemiah, what did he not do? He didn't defend himself. Watch what he does. Verse 4, hear, O God, we are despised. Return their reproach on their head and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have demoralized the builders. So here he's dealing with external opposition. And we deal with external opposition. But what did he do with it? He prayed. He didn't let it. He didn't say, okay, I'm giving up. So this is what he did, verse 6. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height. For the people had what? A mind to work. And God has called us as individuals, and God has called us as a group of people to do a specific thing. And if we don't have the mind of Christ, the mind to be unified, to do what God's called us to do, we won't accomplish it. But these people had half of it already built, and the opposition started coming. So let's look at Luke 9:23. And before we go to Luke 9:23, we also have internal mocking going on, don't we? How many have ever heard, that's stupid for you even to try that? You might as well not try. Just give it up. That's internal mocking going on, and you need to learn to tell it to shut up in Jesus' name and not to listen to it, because it wants to destroy us. Luke 9:23 says, and this is Jesus. It's read in your Bible. Then Jesus said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. How often? Daily. And follow him. Daily. So the way I want to explain denying. This is what the Christian walk is. Christian walk is nothing more than this scripture. If you'd get this one scripture, you would get the Christian walk. Set a piece of chocolate cake in front of me. I gain weight really easy. It's not fair. You know, especially you men. You guys can eat and eat, and you just don't gain the weight. It's just not fair, but it's true, and it's okay. But you put a cake in front of me, and I go, no, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny it. I shouldn't have that cake. That's what the Christian walk is. Something comes in front of us, the enemy wants us to do, somebody else wants us to do. No, I'm going to deny myself. Because if we can learn to deny what we think is right, if we can deny to learn what other people think is right, if we can learn to deny the pulling of enticement of things to be doing, we would be able to walk our Christian walk in like an adventure, a true, true adventure. So part of what we have in our society today is we have Christians, I call it consumer Christians, Christianity. So you come, why do people mostly come to church? To touch and pray for other people? To feel good? If you come to church to receive something on a continual basis, then you are a Christian consumer. You're not a Jesus follower. There's a difference. Because who did it say to follow? Him. It doesn't say to follow your will or what you think or help me, fill me. It's all about me. It's all about him. And we're to follow him no matter what is going on, no matter what we think is going on that's not going on, we're to follow him. No matter what we think is not going on, that really is going on, because God works in our behalf all the time. So whatever we think that's not going on, that really is going on, it is. So we're to follow him and not our emotions, not the yakety-yak, not giving into opposition, but literally following the Lord. Okay, Nehemiah 4. 7-9. Here, Sanballat, and this is what people will do. They will gather other people. How many have ever had that happen? You had one person come against you. The opposition didn't work. So what did the person do? They gathered other people to come against you. Happens all the time. All the time. And that's what's going to happen here. Now it came about when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed. And that's what happened to us. The enemy will hear, oh no, they're doing well. Breaches are being closed. Attack! Attack! Breaches are being closed. Healing is taking place in relationships. Church, this church is coming. Attack. And that the breaches began to be closed. And notice it says began, because there were still breaches. They became very angry. So all those men became very angry. Verse 8, and all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause disturbance in it. So again, here is the attack of the external. You can see it. But now we need to talk about the attack of the internal. Most of us are dealing with internal attacks all the time on our heart, on our mind, constantly bombarding us. And we need to learn to shut it off and not to listen to it and to be followers of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. Not follow our emotions, not follow our mind, not follow our what we think or our plans. Don't even follow our plans. I don't want to follow my plans. My plans got me in trouble for years. Don't follow your plans. They're horrible, horrible. Follow God's plan for your life. And the other thing, we will know that verse 9, we prayed to our God. Here it is again. You can see what Nehemiah does. We prayed to our God and became one of them. We set up a guard against them day and night. If we could learn when there's internal and external attacks coming on, if we could learn to draw near to God, just like his word says, because what happens? If we draw near to God, the enemy has to. He has to. He literally has to. So if we learn to go to him consistently, guess what? The enemy will pick on somebody else because he'll go, it's not going to work with them. Every time I come against them, they go running to God. Don't do that to her. She's going to go to God. Don't do it. It's awesome. Learn to go to God in all things, in all things. Opposition internal, opposition external. Learn to go to God. The next one, verses 10 through 12, is opposition through discouragement. Oh, before I do that, I want to talk. This is funny. This is funny. This is why I didn't get very much sleep last night. Dave and I have started a gardening project, and it's been awesome. And we want to do it right. So we're not using any chemicals. So just the same way when the guys are gone, everything happens. Well, we have been attacked by these little slugs. But the slugs get to be big slugs. Boy, were they big last night. So here I am declaring war on these slugs last night. Dave's gone. You know, because they are nocturnal. So I'm out there with my flashlight late last night. And I can do a lot of things, but I cannot squish some things. I can't. So here I am with this spoon squishing them because Dave just takes them and squishes them with his hand. I can't do it. I can't do it. So here I am with this flashlight last night squishing these things. And they were all over the place. I'm going, oh, my goodness, what is going on? The Lord said, tell everybody that's what's happening in their lives. You've got slugs coming after you. You've got things that are coming after you. The only way to kill it is by prayer. The only way to kill it is by prayer. I mean, I got on and I did some looking at how to kill them. How many have ever had a box of cornmeal in your house and you go to make cornbread and it's all ruined because there's dead bugs in there? Well, it's because they get it in the digestive system and they explode. So we have these little traps that we made 2 weeks ago, and we put them in these little things, and they go in, and they die in there. But there wasn't enough of them last night, so I went and got my cornmeal and sprinkled it everywhere. I said, okay, you guys are going to have them. You're going to be dead in the morning. And that's the same determination we need to have with coming against the enemy. You're not taking over my house. You're not taking over me. I'm coming at you with the word. I'm coming at you with prayer. You leave me right now in Jesus' name. You leave me. You're not going to have your way in my head. You're not going to have your way in my heart. You will not in Jesus' name. So that was funny. So here because I wanted to be able to go to sleep last night and not be thinking about these ugly snails. That's why I said, I'll fix you. So I wasted a whole box of cornmeal, just scattering it all over the place. And Holy Spirit cornmeal is the Holy Spirit. Scatter them everywhere. Just let the enemy have it. So discouragement. It's probably the number one thing why people give up on their Christian walk. They just get discouraged and they say, okay, I'm going to go join the rest of the people. Verse 10. And thus, in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. So see, they were getting tired. How many feel like you're burden bearers? You give your burdens to the Lord, Matthew 11, but there is a burden that you have that you've been carrying. Correctly, we're supposed to give it to the Lord. But here in verse 10, the burden bearers, they're failing. You know why? Because they're tired. They're tired of doing the same thing over and over again. Okay, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. So see the internal things that's going on. We can't make it. We can't do it. I might as well give up. But we're supposed to go to the Lord and say, I know you've called me to do this. I'm not going to let discouragement take me down. Verse 11, and our enemies said they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to their work. So here's the external opposition of discouragement coming in. And it came about when the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. So you've got to be able to know that in the internal discouragement, we can feel battered. One time Dave and I went to Alaska. Well, we used to go to Alaska a lot when we had our own company. We traveled a lot. We went a lot of places. And my sister lived in Alaska, so we'd just take off to Alaska. Well, the fish there and the crab, you know, it destroys you for fishing and crabbing anywhere else. Because the fish are here. In fact, Mikey and Glenn just got back from Alaska. But one time, my nephew, who does tour guides, took us on one of those flat-bottom boats that go really fast, you know. And we went to this place, and we seen a lot of fish. There was so much fish, and that was the first time he taught me how to fly fish. You can fly fish when you've got that many fish. There were just so many fish, and we were catching fish right after another. But as I started looking at the fish, I noticed, oh my goodness, they're horrible. They've got, some of them were missing eyes. And it's because they're fighting for their destiny. They're fighting for their destiny. They looked horrible. It wasn't, what's the season? It wasn't that time yet. Spawning. It wasn't spawning yet, because you really don't want to eat the fish then. But they looked horrible. And the Lord said, that would be me if I choose to give up. Don't give up. Doesn't matter what the enemy does. Doesn't matter. You keep on going upstream. Keep on going upstream. And they were, I'm sure, very crowded and probably, I don't know if fish think, but it was kind of like, get out of my face. There's too many fish here, you know. But they weren't discouraged. They were going for it. And we need to go for it. And don't give up. Don't give up because of discouragement. Okay, verse 13. Then I stationed the men in the low. See, this is what Nehemiah did. The enemy makes a move, or our soul makes a move, and we have to make a counter move. Here's the counter move. Then I stationed the men in the lower parts of the space behind the wall and the exposed places. How many know you have exposed places? Those are the Achilles heels in us that are exposed. We have to strategically put things there. Whatever that weakness is, that's an exposed place. Okay, let me think of one. If you're one that likes to tell stories and gossiping, then you don't want to be hanging out with people who tend to gossip. That's an exposed place. Don't do that. If your thing is things that you watch, well, surely don't be watching TV by yourself. Unless you have the whole system locked, you know. You have an exposed place. So, and also Nehemiah stationed the people in families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And when I saw their fear, I arose and spoke to the nobles and the officials and to the rest of the people. See, he had faith. He had faith because he heard from God what he was called to do. And he has faith that it's going to happen. Whatever you heard from God you're supposed to do, it's by faith. It's like what Terry said. It is faith. And Nehemiah said, verse 14, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons. And this is what we're called to do. Not physically, but spiritually. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. How many have ever fought over for your house spiritually and really gone into prayer and prayed and said, Lord, I know you know this is not your will for our family. Then you go and you fight for them because that's the only way that we can fight for them because we can't do anything in the physical. It's all in the spiritual. Things are one in the spiritual. Things are not usually one in the physical. Things are one in the spiritual, and then we see things happen in the physical, is what usually happens. Okay, verse 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, they all returned to the wall, each one of his work. So that they weren't discouraged. They weren't discouraged at all. They allowed themselves to pull together and returned back to their position. Don't ever leave your position. Wherever God, the old saying is, wherever God plants you, grow there. If you uproot yourself, you're going to kill yourself spiritually. 2 Corinthians 3:16-17 says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, because that's what we're supposed to do with all opposition, external, internal. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So if you're having discouragement, if you go to the Lord, he'll say, you know what? That's an attack. You need to overcome that. If you don't go to the Lord, it'll eat you. You know the old saying that says, you are what you eat? I think it's the opposite. It's what's eating people. You can see anger eating people. You can see discouragement eating people. It actually eats people. It does. It eats people. So the veil is taken away. When we go to the Lord, the veil is taken away. He actually removes what we think is going on. Remember what I said? Some things we think is going on is really not going on. And some things we think that is not going on is going on. You think God's left you. He hasn't left you. He's working for you. So he takes away that veil. And he gives you the insight what to do. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Want to be free? It's the Holy Spirit. Call on him. If we don't, You'll be in bondage. Bondage to discouragement, bondage to others' opinions, bondage to what you think, bondage to what other people think you should be doing. Instead, go to the Lord always. Remember, if you train yourself, if you get one thing out of today, go to the Lord. If you go to the Lord, the enemy will leave you alone. I promise you. I promise you. No doubt in my mind, he will leave you alone. He'll probably go and pick on somebody else in your family, is what he'll do. But that's where praying for the household, fighting for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But you just know, he will leave you alone. Or he'll come and attack in a different manner. He'll surprise you. He used to attack over here, and now he's going to attack over here. He's a tricky guy. He's brilliant. The enemy is brilliant. I don't give him credit, but he is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. Okay, so now we're going to go through opposition of extortion, which is our system of things. That's what we're dealing with now. This is happening in our world on a regular basis. 70% of marriages fail because of financial difficulties. Finances. Let's read, and then it's just going to clarify it and look at it and go, wow, this is what's happening in our nation right now. Nehemiah 5, 1 through 5. Now there was a great outcry of the people of their wives against the Jewish brothers, for there was those who said, we, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live. And there were others who said, we are mortgaging our fields and our vineyards and our houses that we might get grain because of the famine. And also there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Is that what's happening? Are we mortgaging our world? There was a time when America owned America. Who owns America? Not Americans. Not Americans. What we're reading here is exactly what's happening in our nation, personally and corporately. Now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers, and our children are like their children. Yet behold, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are being forced into bondage already. And we are helpless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. Is that not what our country is doing? We're mortgaging our fields. We're mortgaging our houses. We're losing most of the things that we own. The biggest thing that we can do on this earth is do what God's called us to do and to leave this earth death free. I owe no man. And I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. I've done what I've called to be here to do. So don't let your flesh, that's the internal. The internal part of this is us wanting. I want this. I want that. How many have had buyer's remorse where you go, oh, I shouldn't have bought that. You know why you bought that? Because of I want that. When we are doing marriage counseling, we teach people how to have three sheets of paper. One paper that you list down everything that you need. Another paper, everything you should have. And another paper, everything you want. How many people get mixed up with the want and the need? And then they buy things that they want. And then they're in bondage. And then you have to mortgage your houses. And you're in horrible shape financially. Personally and corporately as a nation, this is what we're doing. We have so much debt. It's almost at $18 trillion right now that we've sold out our sons and our daughters. You think we could ever pay for that debt? No. Most of us don't even know what a $1 trillion looks like. I have a picture of one I should have brought, but we're at $18 trillion. It's huge. We'll never be able to pay that debt. And people are living the same way that our government's living. Oh, well, does doesn't matter if I've $40,000 in debt for credit cards, consumable things, because we're consumable people. We consume our income. So don't follow what you want to buy. Follow Jesus Christ. It's amazing. He will free us and say, yes, you can buy that. Or, no, you shouldn't buy that. And would we listen? Not if we want to do what we want to do. Okay, and then now we're at 6:1-4, which is opposition through compromise or distraction. Another huge one. Huge, huge one. I like to work with people who will start one thing, and then they'll end up doing five things and never doing any of the five things. Have you ever met anyone like that? You know, they'll start off. I used to work with a wonderful teacher, and we'd get her set up every year for her classroom, first grade teacher in Lapine, Oregon. And I'd actually, I love her. She's been here. I say, Janice, you're the kind of person can only do one thing at a time. There's other people who can multitask and do many things, but there's not too many who could really, really do that. So we need to be people who don't get distracted and stay focused what God's called us to do. Verse 1 of 6. Now it came about when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah, to Geshem the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies that had rebuilt the wall, that no breach remained in it. See, they covered it up. They're all doing their work. No holes. This is really going to get them upset. Although at the time I had not set the doors in the gate. So Nehemiah is telling us, we're pretty well done, but I still have some last minute stuff. That Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come and let us meet together. And that's the C word. And that's just a village is what it is. I'm not a good reader, so I'm just going to call it the village that starts with a C. But they were planning to harm him. So he's seeing that he's being set up. You know, that he's got this supposed to be doing, but he's not going to fall for it. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. And that's what we're called to do. When something comes to distract us, I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great work. For those that do in-stay, I'm always saying, stay focused. Stay focused. If you don't, there's going to be a ton of things that try to take your time away from you. Stay focused. Nehemiah says, why should I stop working while I leave it and come down to you? We are not supposed to get distracted or to compromise at all. Verse 4, and they sent messengers to me four times in this manner, in the same way. And I know I've got 15 minutes, but I wanted to do this. How many feel that this is part of your life? Let's see. How did I do this? There it is. Does anybody feel like this is your life? You know, and it's just going and it's just going. The reason why we can feel that way is because perhaps we've got a lot of stuff pulling on us. We have this pulling on us, this pulling on us. We have to be a people who say, I'm not going to do that. There are no people who almost always say no. They need to learn how to say yes. And there are yes people that always say yes. They need to sometimes learn how to say no. And to get away from the distractions. God's called us to one thing. What is that? Fulfill our destiny. What is that? If you don't know what that is, you better ask, or we're just floundering. Ask what his will is for you. Okay, opposition through slander. You see how Sanballat's just coming after him? Coming after him. Then verse 6, then Sanballat sent for his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time. So look, not only four times, but a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. It is written, it is reported amongst the nations that Geshem, whatever, says that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. Therefore, you are building a wall, and you are to be king according to these reports. See, there's nothing but lies. That's not at all what's happening here. And you have appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you a king in Judah. And now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So now, come and let us counsel together. Is that manipulation? Huge manipulation and slander. And we are not to allow the lies of what people, and most importantly, because there's more lies of the enemy that come, who say lies about us. And we need to tell him to go talk to Jesus. We need to not listen to his lies. We need to ask and say, Jesus, what are you saying? And not listen to the slander. Verse 8, then I sent a messenger, now watch what Nehemiah does, to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. So he's clearly just telling him, you're sucking this out of your thumb, that's what I say. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. That's what the enemy does to us. Discourage us, so what God's calling you to do, whatever your Achilles heel is, pick it out in your head. You know what it is, because we each have one. Whatever that is, he says, if I push on that spot, they're going to give up. I know it. I know it. And you need to go, in Jesus' name, leave me alone. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing what God's called me to do. And I call on the Holy Spirit. Now watch what he does, verse 9. For all of them were trying to, this is Nehemiah. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged and will work, and the work will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. There are times when I know I can't go a day further unless I ask the Lord to strengthen me. And I don't know how people make it without asking the Lord to strengthen them. Because we can't make it in this world without asking for God's strength. It's the only way. Go to the Lord. He will take the veil off. He will show you what's going on. And he will bring restoration. Treachery and deceit. Verse 10. And I went and entered the house of the Esgai and the son of the Degai and the Emgai, who were confined at home, and said, let us meet together. See how the enemy keeps on wanting to conspire? Let us meet together in the house of God with the temple, and let us close the door of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But here's what Nehemiah says. But I said, should a man like me flee, and now one such as I go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. See, he, again, discernment. Because he went to the Lord took off his veil, he was able to see exactly what was going on. That's the only way we get discernment. We need to have the Holy Spirit's discernment, and the Lord was giving it because Nehemiah kept on going to the feet of Jesus, to the feet of God. Jesus wasn't there, but he was there. Verse 12. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And he was hired for this reason, that I might be frightened and act accordingly and sin, so that they may have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. But see, he didn't give in to the deceit. He didn't give in to the treachery. He didn't give in to any of that. But again, he went to the Lord. 14. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to their works of theirs, and also the Engai, the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. So Nehemiah ends up completing the wall and the gate. Remember, Ezra, his call was to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah's was to do the wall and the gate. So verse 15, so the wall was completed on the 25th month of Elu in 52 days. Because Nehemiah listened to God, he was able to do something that the Jews had been trying for over 100 years. I don't remember how many. It was over 100 years they were trying to rebuild the temple, trying to rebuild the gate and the walls. 52 days. And look what happened. And it came about when all of the enemies heard of this and all the nations surrounding saw it, they lost their confidence, the enemy, and they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. So Nehemiah never did one huge miracle. Many of us won't do a huge miracle, not like Elisha or Elijah. But the world was able to see a miracle because of why? His faithfulness. It's only because he was faithful, which they even said they could see it was God. So, I'm trying to figure out where I am. Why has God allowed us to, let me put my cards back in order. Why does God allow us to go through opposition? I have a in Romans. And how do we battle it? I am speaking in her human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, our flesh. That's what we all need. All of us have a weakness. For as you present your members, which is our mind, will, and emotions, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. So if we present our members, our mind, will, and emotions to bad, that's what's going to happen. So now we have to present. God's not going to present it for us. We have to present it. Your members as slaves to righteousness resulting in sanctification. That's a big word that means you're just right with God. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what behalf were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcry of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to who? Whose slave are you? It's either that or you're a slave to sin. I mean, that's about as black as white as can get. But either you're a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. Either or. Every single person walking on this earth either is a slave to sin or a slave to God. No gray. Who are we a slave of? That's pretty black and white. I'm going to read it again. But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derived your benefit resulting in sanctification, meaning right with God. And the outcome is eternal life. Is that it? Okay, so our responsibility is to be a slave to Jesus. All those things, mockery or others' opinions, are we enslaved by others' opinions, which is mockery? Are we enslaved to eternal attacks, or are we following Jesus? Are we enslaved to discouragement, or are we following Jesus? Because either or. Either you're a slave to discouragement, or you're a slave to Jesus Christ. Are you a slave to your finances, or are you a slave to Jesus Christ? Is he saying, don't buy that? Don't go to that car lot! Don't buy that? You know, and are you going to go, well, I'm going anyway. Or are we enslaved to compromise and distractions, going all over the place, doing many, many things? When Dave and I were doing all of our planting, we planted over 350-some little cells. And we found places to plant all of them, except for, I think we gave like 15 away. But Dave, because he's just a scatter kind of guy, he just, and see me, I planted like 2 seeds each one. Dave planted, he just threw seeds in there and covered them up. So we were just, it was just all about. So I was out there pulling, because you only want 1 or 2. So here, I'm going to say for 2 weeks, I was going around pulling all that stuff. There was so much going on there, nothing could have happened. Because there was so much going on there. So I had to go and pull all those things out there, and they sat on the sides, and they were dying. So all those things we pull out end up dying. All those distractions and all that stuff that's not supposed to be there anyway. So the word says we're forever learning. That's why we come to church every Sunday. Forever learning, which is good, but what is the next part it says? Denying the power within. So we have the Holy Spirit. So if we say, I'm not going to get stuck on that discouragement, I'm not going to get stuck on that, what other people think, I'm enslaved to God. I'm not enslaved to that stuff. I'm enslaved to God. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to be thinking, in closing, what your Achilles heel is. Let the Lord pick out just one. Just one. Father, what you are putting your finger on right now, I pray that you would supernaturally remove the veil of what is taking place. Open up our eyes of our understanding so that we can understand the hope of our calling, so that we can understand who you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that the people sitting in this room would truly allow you, the master potter, to form what you are desiring to form in us. And Lord, that we would yield to you, that we would allow you to form us into who you've called us to be. Lord, all those other things that come to distract us and to have us totally missing what you're calling us to do, we come against those things in Jesus' name and pray that your fire would burn everything that is not supposed to be part of us. And Lord, that it would be replaced with a true understanding of our calling and what we're supposed to be doing. And Lord, that we would be a group of people who would truly run to you when we are facing opposition. Lord, the opposition of external opposition and internal opposition, may we fight the good fight. May we apply your armor daily. Daily, Lord, that we would apply it. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the men as they are being filled also. Lord, be with them as they travel back. And Lord, as we are all on assignment, this day, this year, all the days of our life, Lord, may you guide us, and may we have ears to hear your Holy Spirit say, come.